This feed is protected by a Creative Commons license to support the interests of the artist.
Hi there, I'm Hurricane, the Category 5 natural disaster of the airwaves. Stay tuned, because up next, it's a conversation between me and Swami Bubba.
And now, the last radio station in association with Louder and Faster Unlimited presents Swami Bubba.
According to you, what is the meaning of life?
That's in the damn dictionary. Look it up.
Well, the one question that a lot of people have on their minds is how do they deal with the new love interest? They just met somebody, they're shy as hell. They don't know quite how to approach this girl they've met. And let's take it up a notch. Let's say they've got some kinky interests.
Proposition entail my dressing up as Little Bo Peep.
But regardless, how do they approach this person?
Honesty is always the best policy. You put your cards on the table and see what she's got. Lower hand folds.
What about one for the ladies? Same situation, just reverse it to the ladies.
Same situation, just reverse it for the ladies. Honesty's still the best policy.
You must learn the ways of the Force.
You got bluffers and muffers on both sides of the fence. As you've heard me say before, don't ride the fence. Makes you cry for all and leave splinters in your ass.
You've heard that the common thing about when you go to a common church, for example, that will say money is the root of all evil. And
yeah.
You've heard that shit before.
Yeah.
What's your take on that? Because I myself don't believe it, but I'd love to hear your take on it since you've been so enlightened for so many years.
Well, money's not the root of all evil, and that's not biblical. And you know that.
That's right.
What the Bible actually says is the love of money is the root of all evil. So if you put money before God, that's evil. And that's making money an idol.
So if you thank God for the money and the other gifts that you receive.
Money is a necessity.
Say, man, when I was growing up, we wanted jacuzzi, we had to fart in the tub.
It's a currency, it's a part of the flow, it's part of the energy flow. So money's a good thing when it's used properly and obtained properly. Other than that, it's just bullshit.
So the rich man can indeed find paradise, can he not?
Of course he can. That's another misinterpretation of scripture about it's harder for a rich man to inherit the kingdom than... how does that scripture go? It's
Exactly.
Thank you. Swami's drunk tonight, people, so we're doing the best we can.
Well, you fellas better go on up and get completely wasted.
Thanks, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Wally.
What about alcohol, speaking of drunk?
Yeah, I hadn't finished out the fucking question.
Oh, sorry.
Our actions are controlled by electronic computers.
But it's easier for a rich man, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to inherit the kingdom.
Well, no shit.
But that goes back to what you were saying earlier, right?
Exactly. Well, there's a lot of different theories on that. One of them is the eye of the needle actually used to be the name of the gate in Jerusalem where you had to unload your camel in order to get through the gate because it wasn't large enough. That's one aspect of it. But the bottom line, and we always want to go for the bottom line, is that money is not the problem. The love of money is. Money is a term reflecting materialism. If you put materialism before the spiritual, then you're going to have problems. I don't care how little or how much money you have. If you put the spiritual before the material, then you open the floodgates of both God and money. Chew on that and see what you spit out.
As God, I don't never change. He's God. Always will be God. God in the middle of the ocean. God in the middle of the sea. By the help of the great creator, truly been a God to me. He's God. God don't never change. God always will be God. God in creation. God when Adam fell, God way up in heaven, God way down in hell. He's God. God don't never change. God always will be God. Spoke to the mountain, said how great I am. Want you to get up this morning, skip around like a lamb. Well, he's God. God don't never change. God always will be God. God in the time of sickness, God in the doctor too, in the time of the influenza, he truly was a God to you. Well, he's God. God don't never change. He's God. Always will be God. God in the pulpit. God way down at the door. He's God in the amen corner. God all over the floor. Well, he's God. God don't never change. Always will be God.
We offer many all-ass positions, dynamic all-ass products, all-ass technology. Imagine all-ass crops at a global, diverse company like all-ass
Swami Baba.
What about a drunk man? Like what? You and I right now are partying.
Yeah, we're partying. We're drunk. So what's your point?
Well, again, another common misinterpretation is that alcohol is evil.
Well, alcohol used in excess is evil. If you care to take the time to research your Bible. Now, idealistically, no one should drink because it interferes with the flow. That's what people will tell you anyway. But wasn't it Jesus himself that turned the water into wine? Wasn't Jesus himself the one who was accused of being a drunkard because they hung out with people who drank?
May I interject?
Well, you just did.
Wasn't he also angry at the fact that they weren't drunk, but they were drunk off of the cheap stuff before they came to him and said
you're talking,
they were out of wine?
You're talking about the wedding in Cana,
right,
where he turned the water into wine. Yeah, but
yeah,
that's just one isolated incident, and he also was accused throughout his career for hanging out with hookers, wine bibbers, as they called them, which is drunks, and what would today be called drug users, and all that kind of stuff, you know, strippers, whatever, better than modern terms.
Blasphemy will only make it worse.
But the point is, and he said it well, he said that the well did not need a physician, but the sick. All right, having said that, the whole point of the matter is moderation. Do all things in moderation. That's a biblical concept, which I don't always do myself. But there's a time and a place for everything. You have to be in control rather than something else controlling you. As long as you're in control, and then you're probably in line. If something is controlling you, you've slipped. You need to pull back and readjust.
And you rule out brain damage as well.
This includes not only alcohol, but women, money, power.
Yep, anything and everything. If anything controls you, it becomes your idol, thus replacing God, oneness, the infinite one, the source, whatever you choose to call it. That's where you go wrong.
Isn't that, you mentioned the Bible earlier, isn't that a direct violation of the First Commandment?
Yeah. If you put anything before God, that's a violation of the First Commandment. That's what I just said.
Exactly.
Damn, you listening?
I am, but I'm also a bit quiet.
Well, so am I, so there we go.
In the key of E minor, the Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments.
Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's debt. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ass. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments.
Thou shalt not steal. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments.
Thou shalt not take my name in vain. Thou shalt not forget the Saturday. Thou shalt not take my name in vain. Thou shalt not forget the Saturday. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments.
Thou shalt not take thy ma and pa. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not hate thy ma and pa. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments.
Use of unnecessary violence in the apprehension of
Swami Baba.
Can approve.
Scientific question, as you know, I am of a science person. Let's see how enlightened you really are. Break down.
Don't fuck with me.
Okay. Well, you know I've got to do that. It's part of my job.
No, it ain't.
It's an occupational hazard.
Spit it out.
Explain Einstein's theory of relativity in 30 words or less.
I already have. Everything is relative to the mind. Including the mind itself. Facts are merely the points at which understanding is temporarily satisfied. Next question.
Okay, break it up, son. Joke's over, hey?
You owe me a beer.
Yes, I do. In fact, I will proceed to get us one. Well, he had another theory, and a lot of people consider this to be either impossible or improbable, however you want to put it. But what is your take on multiple parallel universes and actual theory he had?
This is what happens when demented people play with powerful toys.
Well, as you know, I subscribe to a theory of oneness that I'm in search of the underlying oneness of all things. Quit making so much damn noise.
Oh, sorry, sir.
Excuse me, blast noise. Trying to correct my language here. But, listen to this. Having said that and thought this, or thought that and said this, yeah, Einstein, was a genius. Yeah, there are multiple levels of the universe, to paraphrase, but they're all of the universe. Now, break the universe, that word, down a little bit, and I'm going to quote from Linda Goodman on this one. Unit, one verse. So, even though and if there are many different levels, it all ultimately merges back into the one. Einstein, right? And also, this theory ties into Einstein's relativity theory, which ties into my relativity theory, which ties into the ultimate oneness.
Multiple possibilities, still one universe.
Many expressions of the one.
Did you think any of his theories were invalid? Any at all?
Not being a student of Einstein, I can't comment any further except that what I know of the man, I respect the man. I wouldn't argue with the shit. He was right. He was right in a lot of ways.
Now you know just enough to be dangerous.
How have you incorporated that into your life?
Where the hell do you think I got to say, and everything is relative to the mind, except the mind itself, etc.? That's a direct result of Brother Einstein.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Your wisdom and knowledge is indeed profound, to say the least.
Yeah.
Has there been anything that has stumped you at all, for lack of a better way of putting it?
Everything stumps me. But without the stumps, in other words, without the questions, how are you going to find the answers?
The proverbial egg being broken to make the omelet, so to speak?
Something like that. If you don't stump your toe, how are you going to figure out how to make the toe feel better?
You got to tell them!
Do you have a question that you would like to ask? So many people ask you questions. Do you have a question that has just bogged your mind to the point that you have to ask it?
Yeah, what is the meaning of life? Why are we here?
And once again, everything comes full circle.
Duh.
I think you've got something there, and I'll wait outside until you clean it up.
Well, all right. The final, I can think of one big question right off the top of my head. And you and I have a mutual friend that have actually believed this. So I will now ask you, oh great one.
Don't call me that.
Well, I appreciate your humbleness.
No, I'm Chaos and he's Mayhem. We're a double act.
I'm an ordinary person just like everybody else, all right? Let's get that straight.
Okay. In that case, Swami Bubba. Is going back to not just the Bible, but also other scripture writings. Is the woman indeed always supposed to be subservient to men?
No.
And how do you come to that conclusion?
Because of her natural superiority.
But is she superior?
Blow your mind with that one, didn't I, boy?
Yes. But let me keep going. Is she superior, according to what you say?
According to what I say.
You just said her superiority.
Yeah, I did.
So is she superior? Are you implying that she is superior to us? Or is she equal?
Ultimately, all things are equal. There's a book by Ashley Montague many years ago called The Natural Superiority of Women. You should read it. Apart from that, ultimately, it's yin, yang, dark, light, male, female, all things being equal. What you got to find is the balance. Now, you asked me if women should always be subservient, and my answer was clearly no.
Despite what the Bible, using an example, states.
The Bible is misunderstood, and in some cases mistranslated.
King James.
Yeah. Don't get me started on that.
Okay, we won't go there for now. Okay. So basically that was his interpretation and his way of translating the text.
Well, not actually his. The scholars that he employed to translate it his way. There were 70 of them. But it is not a part of original Christianity. One of the greatest disciples that Christ ever had was Mary Magdalene.
And oddly enough, she was never credited as being a disciple in the, shall we say, common text.
Exactly. Because of creative editing and so forth.
An observation, if I may, the King James Version of the Bible would have to be considered the first creatively, and I say this carefully, creatively edited publication?
Not the first, but the most influential.
The one that conservative Christians like to follow.
Of course. To the point that some, even to this day, some people refer to that Bible as the St. James Version. How little they know of history.
So basically, if they knew
excuse me,
what kind of a person that King James was, if they had half a brain, for lack of a better way of putting it,
what would you do with a brain if you had one?
They would rethink their whole thought process.
Absolutely. One of the problems with your so-called Christian fundamentalists today is that they don't do the homework. They don't even follow the King James biblical references. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed. Nah, they don't study. They think everything is literal, everything is according to the preacher or their denomination. You know, pardon my French here, brother, but bullshit.
Ah, you said bad words.
And that's not a sneeze.
Okay, well, speaking of, how did you put it so eloquently, bullshit, let's elaborate on that for a minute. You've heard this before. Saying a four-letter expletive is evil?
Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits.
It depends on the four-letter expletive, you see. It's all a matter of words. I'm glad you brought this up, because this is something I've been wanting to talk about for a long time.
This has been something I've been wanting to hear for a long time.
All right. Where to begin? Well, society, specifically Christians, but society in general don't understand, is the evolution of so-called bad words. Let me address it first by saying there's cussing, which is a southern, more than anything else, derivation of the word cursing. Mm-hmm. The Bible condemns cursing. It does not condemn cussing. Now, there are certain cuss words that are to be found in the Bible, as well as curse words. All right? Now, having said that, cuss words are simply what society considers to be bad or inappropriate language. Curse words are what's condemned. These are words that, true to the meaning, invoke a curse. All right? Now, let me start with one good example. Many years ago, I was confronted by one of my fellow partiers, because he was raised in such a way as to think, God damn, that's the wrong thing to say, and he heard me say it. And I asked him the following question, because he said, that's using the Lord's name in vain. That's using God's name in vain.
I said, all right, I'm with you.
What is God's name?
Well,
he couldn't tell me. He tried. So finally he came up with God. I said, nope, God is a title, not a name. Therefore, saying God damn is not using the Lord's name in vain.
That's title.
A title. However, upon reflection on this, I myself have learned that whatever God means to you and you use that term, God damn, you're hurting yourself, because even though it's a title, not a name, you're asking whatever you conceive to be God to condemn something. I mean, let's use another example. You hit your thumb with a hammer and you say, God damn it. Well, let's think about that. That's the last thing you need at that point, is for God to damn it. Whatever your conception of God is, what you need to say is, God bless it. But I go back to my original point that God is a title, not a name. So you're not using God's name in vain. You're saying something stupid. So now, whenever that urge hits me, I try to say, God bless it. Because the God I believe in does. And I don't want him to condemn it. I want him to bless it. Whether I hit my thumb with a hammer or whatever the situation is.
You've been listening to part one of Ron Carter's interview with the illustrious Swami Baba. Part two will come on the next show just as soon as we can get it together, man. In the meantime, if you'd like to send an email to Swami Baba, you can do so at swami_baba@yahoo.com. That address again, for those of you who were too busy scratching your ass to write it down, is swami_baba@yahoo.com. Come back next time for part two of this interview with Swami Baba.